Who are the Vanyar Elves? The most beloved by the Valar, but also the most mysterious. They hardly set foot in the stories we know in Middle-earth, so let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Tolkien's legendarium contains a lot of different kinds of elves. Some are great craftspeople, some love the sea, some the woodlands. But perhaps the most intriguing are those who left Middle-earth back before even the First Age, and barely touch upon our story afterwards, the Vanyar. We read about them in the Silmarillion, when the Valar call upon the early elves to depart with them and head west, taking up a new home in the Undying Lands. This is what Tolkien says. The smallest host, and the first to set forth, was led by Ingwe, the most high lord of all the elvish race. He entered into Valinor and sits at the feet of the powers, and all elves revere his name. But he never came back, nor looked again upon Middle-earth. The Vanyar were his people. They are the fair elves, the beloved of Manwë and Varda, and few among men have spoken with them. The context here, obviously, is that when the elves awaken and the Valar realise that they are there, the Valar encourage the elves to head west. The elves are a bit uncertain, for obvious reasons. This was their homeland, and some very powerful people they didn't know were suddenly telling them to move. So three elves, Ingwe, Finwë, and Elwë, went west to see this new homeland they had been promised, then reported back to their people. Ingwe was easily the most positive. In fact, he didn't even want to return, so great was his love for Valinor once he got there. He did return, but only for long enough to try to persuade his fellow elves to go back with him, which explains why he led the smallest host and the first to set forth. He was keen to get back, and those he led were the elves keenest to go with him. They sped west and caught the first boat, island, heading to the Undying Lands. The elves who went with him were what we know as the Vanyar Elves. They sailed west and, at least Ingwe, never saw Middle-earth again. So that's what we're talking about. The elves who were keenest to leave Middle-earth for the Undying Lands and never wanted to return. Ingwe and the Valar stayed in Tirion for a while. In fact, they probably built Tirion. And yes, Game of Thrones fans, I suspect, though can't yet prove, that the name Tirion was inspired by Tirion. Tirion being the first city of the elves west of the sea. Just to briefly digress into that city, it was quite something. Ingwe built a tower called Minden Eldalavie, atop the central hill of the city. It was one of many towers, but the tallest, and atop that tower they set a silver light that shone out deep into the mists of the sea. The description we have of the rest of the city is almost ethereally unreal. The walls and floors shone bright white. The sand in the streets was crushed diamond. The stairs leading up the hill were white crystal, blindingly wonderful. At the bottom of the hill was the great square in which grew the white tree, made by Yvanna the Valar herself. This is the same white tree, a gift from the Valar, from whom the white tree of Numenor, then the white tree of Gondor, descend. That tree was, of course, an echo in itself of Telperion, of the two trees of Valinor. It wasn't the same, because it didn't emit the same holy light, but it was an echo. But it turns out that even this created idyll was not enough for Ingwe and the Vanyar. They moved again. Tirion then became a mostly Noldor city. The tower atop the hill was kept as it was, but never populated. And Tirion became the setting for some of the most dramatic events in the Silmarillion, such as Feanor binding his sons to that oath. That happened in Tirion. But the Vanyar had moved closer to the Valar at that point. They moved into the plains and woods of Valinor, closer to the two trees, and on the slopes of Tanyquetil. Ingwe himself set up a home base on Tanyquetil, as close as he could get to Manwë, Lord of the Valar. Tanyquetil, for those who don't know, is the holiest mountain in Arda. It is also the tallest. At its summit are the palaces of Manwë and Varda, the Lord of the Valar and his lady. Probably the closest equivalent we have is Mount Olympus. The gods lived on its summit, and the Vanyar and Ingwe lived as close as they could. Because unlike the Greek or Norse or Roman gods, the gods of Arda were approachable but holy. Proximity to them was akin to holiness rubbing off on you. It was sometime around this time, Tolkien is quite vague about exact timings, that Ingwe assumed the title of High King of the Elves. To be truthful, there were only three possible candidates: himself, Finwë, leader of the Noldor, who was killed by Morgoth, and Elwë, who remained in Middle-earth and was also later killed. So Ingwe was the senior elf. So the Vanyar elves stayed there on the slopes of Tanaquetil and the surrounding hills and woodlands for the next few ages. Time passed differently in the Undying Lands, but still, all the kings, lords, and high kings in Middle-earth understood that the High King of all elves lived in Valinor, not among them. Which is where we could leave the Vanyar elves. That was their forever home and forever fate. They rarely intervened in the story we know from then on. But let's pick up on two or three times where they do interact with our story. First, we should note Indis, the second wife of Finwë. Finwë's first wife gave up on life after giving birth to Feanor, and he subsequently remarried to Indis. That is where the striking blonde hair of Finwë's children comes from. Feanor had dark hair like his father, but Finarfin, Finrod, and Galadriel had golden hair, taking after the Vanyar. Finrod and Finarfin's legacy are for the deep dives, but everyone knows Galadriel. She was therefore part Vanyar. Second, we know that the Vanyar were suspicious of Melkor when he emerged from his confinement by the Valar. The Noldor were a bit conflicted, and the Teleri stayed out of it until they couldn't, but the Vanyar were suspicious. And third, we know that the Vanyar did finally come back to Middle-earth as a part of the host of the Valar. This was the end of the First Age of Middle-earth. Morgoth had been freed from his chains, made his way to Middle-earth, weathered the initial storm, and slowly started to push across the continent. The humans and elves there couldn't resist him, so eventually, after the pleadings of Eärendil, the Valar intervened. They sent the host of the Valar, which was comprised of some of the Valar, plus some Maiar, plus also some Noldorin elves under Finarfin, and some of the Vanyar under Ingwion, son of Ingwe, High King of the Elves. We don't know much about that battle, but we do know that the Vanyar held white banners, presumably to denote their purity, and preferred spears over swords or bows. And after that victory, we know little else. Presumably they went back to their previous home. It's noticeable that their king Ingwe did not join the War of Wrath. Proximity to holiness seems to have been too great a draw for him. Tolkien was, of course, all about the language underpinning his creations, and I think it's quite telling about how the Vanyar viewed themselves and how others did. The Vanyar called themselves the Minyar, the Firsts, or Ingwe, meaning the pinnacle. They clearly thought of themselves as the preeminent elves. The other elves didn't go quite that far, but the Quenya name for the Vanyar meant the fair, probably referring to their hair. In Sindarin, they were Min-il, meaning first elf. So everyone accepted that the Vanyar were in some way the first elves. They were certainly the first to make it to Valinor and first to get close to the Valar, and their proximity to that and the two trees probably made them holier, which in Tolkien's world meant a lot. It probably meant that they were more powerful too. The Vanyar elves are a mystery, but only because they kept themselves holy, in the Tolkien sense of the word, separate to the rest of the elves and closer to the divine. They were no different to the other elves in the beginning. They were just the first and the keenest to get to the gods of Middle-earth and the part of the world that was made for them. Others lingered or equivocated, or perhaps more positively engaged themselves in the day-to-day grime and dirt of trying to make Middle-earth a better place. The Vanyar separated themselves from that. I guess Tolkien didn't give us a clear moral message here, rather a question. Where would you rather be? Among the Vanyar in the holiest of places, rarely soiling themselves with the realities of life in Middle-earth, or among the dirt and reality of trying to make the fallen world better? If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.